I think we ought to charge admission. You don't even need to know Hebrew. Just watch him go. You know, he just. Now when Lou Brighton gets wound up, he does this with his hands. You ought to try that sometime. You know, so. Well, Luke 4 is a great parallel because it's the incident in the synagogue in Nazareth where Jesus quotes Isaiah 61. So this was a good match. And in terms of the effect of this text, however, it's interesting that they've the lectionary chops off at verse 21, which is fine. It's the end of a paragraph. But it's really a text that's sort of like a diving board. And a diving board is not meant to be stayed on. You know, you bounce on it in order to jump off into the pool. And it's really remarkable in terms of what the text doesn't say, or maybe I should say it this way, the answers to all the questions that the text asks are found if you go ahead and read the rest of the gospel. So it's really a on your mark, get set, go kind of thing. And the focus, as we'll see, is remarkably, both narratively and in other ways, upon Jesus himself as the one who fulfills this Isaiah prophecy. So anyway, let's go ahead and read through it. Verse 14, and Jesus returned. This is after his temptation, right? And so then verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit's work through and in Jesus' ministry in Luke is a very strong theme. It, I suppose we'd have to say things like, according to his human nature, Jesus is empowered by the Spirit. But it's very remarkable. Luke speaks this way frequently. So Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and the fame, report, or news, excuse me, ex erchomide, went out. Kata with the genitive often means down or against, but it can also mean through, and that's what it's doing here. Through the whole of the surrounding stuff, perichoros means, it's an adjective, it means surrounding, the surrounding region, peri out to about him or concerning him. Verse 15, and he himself, a little bit of emphasis with the pronoun present because it's not needed, he himself began to teach. Since this is the start of his ministry, we can translate this imperfect inceptively, began to teach in their synagogues, doxazomenos, as he was being glorified by everybody, or being praised by everybody. So it's going great. I mean, it's going great. See, he's all over the region, everybody's heard about him, and everybody is pleased. They're praising him, right? And of course, you know how the story continues once the text ends in verse 22 and following. And he went into Nazareth, he came into Nazareth, where ein tethramenos, tethramenos is the perfect participle passive of trepho. That would be your stump the jock, one of your stump the jock parsing forms in this text. It means to nurture or to rear. So with it's a periphrastic form with the form of ami plus a participle, so where he had been reared. And he entered according to the habitual thing to him. This is actually in form, I think, a perfect participle. Neuter, as you can see with ta. It's a kind of an indeclinable form. It's kind of rare. Luke, of course, loves to use rare forms. So according to his custom is a good translation. So Jesus went to church. This is good. On the day of the Sabbaths, which is idiomatic for on Sabbath day. Into the synagogue, and on este, this is the strong second aorist of anestemi, and it's intransitive. He stood up for this purpose, anagnoni, from anagnosko, which means to read, in order to read. Verse 17, and was handed to him, oh, here's the subject, the book of the prophet Isaiah. This would be a genitive of bibliography. I had to say that because my esteemed colleague just sat down. I had to say something weird this time. No, it's the prophet Isaiah's book, and he anaptusos it. He unrolls it. It's a scroll. A biblion is a scroll, right? I think it's true that the early Christian movement is responsible for the codex form of books. Did I Somebody told me that's right. Say it, Tim. Is that right? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it helped messianic prophecies.
It did. How come?
Because you can cross reference with fingers.
Oh, you don't have to.
Which you can't do in a scroll.
Well, I make the joke that all BC skeletons have really big forearms because they're going like this a lot, right? Laughter is permitted. And unrolling the book, Heilron from Hirisco, he found the place where it had been written, and now we have the quotation, with a few things left out and one little clunk from Isaiah 58 pulled in. You can see the reference side notes there in Nestle Aland, or probably in UBS as well. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is a little awkward. You have the genitive singular masculine, or perhaps neuter, relative pronoun with the preposition heineken in front of it. Word order, it should be the other way around, on account of which, or because of which, he anointed me. Now, the ambiguity that Dr. Bartelt was talking about earlier is true also in the Greek. What do you put the infinitives with? And you can see we've got punctuation with a comma after poor. And so the editors want us to take it this way. Because of which he anointed me to preach good news to the poor, comma. Now, again, it doesn't really matter, because whether it's he anointed me for this purpose or he anointed me in general terms and then sent me to do these things doesn't really make any difference. So it's a kind of a distinction without a difference. At any rate, on account of which he anointed me, Ewangelizomai, to preach good news, tochois, we had a good discourse on poor guys. And in Luke, you have the same double reference, because Luke, you know, Luke's gospel does have a strong theme about money and possessions and wealth. I mean, everybody's favorite stewardship chunk is Luke 9 to 18, because he's got lots of stuff in there about money. So the oppressed guys, whose only hope is in Yahweh, often end up also being economically poor, okay? But it's not just, as Dr. Bartelt said, it's in the Old Testament, it's not the poor Moabites or something. It's always Yahweh's poor, oppressed ones, okay? So the primary thrust is always, if we dare we say it, a spiritual one. Those who are needy and look to Yahweh alone for their help. To preach good news to the poor guys, he has sent me, the perfect of apostello, to herald to captive guys, release. Here's the Jubilee stuff that we heard eloquently about a minute ago. So to herald, to captive, to the captives, release. As you probably know, the verb afiemi can mean a number of things. It can mean allow, it can mean permit, it can mean let go, and it can mean forgive. So the noun aphesis, we normally think of translating as forgiveness, right? But here in the context, you know, of Jubilee talk, it's bigger than forgiveness. It's release, right? Of which, of course, forgiveness of sins is at the center.
Think of the connection between forgiveness of sins and forgiveness of debt.
Yeah, right, right.
They really are at heart the same thing.
Yeah,
the
right.
Basic is an economic model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, right. And to herald tiflois, to blind people, anablepsin, recovery of sight. Anablepo means either to look up or it means to see again. Apostelai, the aorist infinitive active from apostello, to send tethrausmenus, having been broken people, to send broken people in freedom or in release to herald the year of the Lord, the acceptable one. Now, I just want to The pericope doesn't go on, but there's some irony here. I mean, two more verses, but I just wanted to pick up on dektos, because this is the same adjective. Just kind of scan up with me to verse 24. This is the acceptable year of the Lord, but in verse 24, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is dektos in his own hometown." That's the tragedy and the irony of their rejection of him, is that this is the acceptable year of the Lord, but Jesus himself is not acceptable to the people in Nazareth. Right? Anyway, he finishes the reading, and he anaptisoed before, and now he ptusos, so he rolls up the scroll, And he apodidomes, the aorist participle active, he gives to the servant ekathesin and sat. I mean, this is dramatically portrayed. So he finishes and he sits down, and of all the eyes of all in the synagogue, eizon atenizontes auto, again a paraphrasing construction, were fixed, you know, we're kind of dragging this out a little bit, were fixed on him, and he not just said, but he began to say to them, quote, the hutti there functioning like quotation marks, direct discourse, semeron. Boy, this is a Lucan word. Today, just get your concordance out and track semeron in Luke. I mean, it's great. To Zacchaeus, today I must stay in this house. I don't remember all of the todays. The one that's most famous probably is the thief on the cross. Today, I mean, this is the time. What Isaiah spoke about, this is the day. Behold, the day of salvation. And here he says, today, this scripture, peplerotai, good, perfect, has been fulfilled, or maybe even better, stands fulfilled in your ears. And that's where it stops. You know, this is so at this point, you know, to preach the text, you know, it really would invite you to pick your theme. You could pick today, you could pick release, you could pick preaching good news, and it would be fun to preach. And then, you know, you could do it even rhetorically. How does this run out in the themes of the gospel? Just pick one and then run it through, you know, four or five or six passages and how Luke plays this out. Pick another one and run it through. Or you could, this would actually be a great evangelistic sermon, you know. If you ever get the chance to preach a baccalaureate service, you know, some places in the country still have baccalaureates, okay. Now, only do it if you'll be the only guy up there, because what will happen to you is like it happened to me once by accident. Okay, by accident, I ended up being trapped on the podium at a baccalaureate with, to speak kindly, a theological idiot. I mean, it was the most terrible experience of my life. But next year, they said I could be up there by myself. So what do you do when you preach baccalaureate? Do you talk morality? No. Do you tell the graduates how smart and how much they've accomplished? Not particularly, because they're high school seniors and they don't know anything, right? What you do is winsomely, cleverly preach, you'll never get invited back, an evangelistic sermon, right? This would be a great, because the text stops, see? And everybody's looking at Jesus, see? And really the reader is, you know, what are they going to do? Well, you know what they do, to try to pitch him off a cliff, right? And then the natural invitation is, what shall we do? See, and so that might be another way to proclaim also to a Christian congregation, not evangelistically, although, you know, there's always basic law and gospel, but really to rejoice in the fact that miraculously God's people gather together, acknowledge that, yes, this is the day of salvation. This is the one in whom release, freedom, good news has, you know, beginning in Nazareth, been proclaimed and enacted. So again, really, it's kind of, the text is kind of like a diving board. You know, it's like, see? And then take, you know, you dive into this exegetical pool or that exegetical pool and really run. Be a great opportunity to do some concordance work, you know, and pick one of these words, one of these themes, and trace it through the Gospel of Luke. So, comments, questions, anything? Silence means absolute agreement.
Jeff, do you think this was the appointed lesson for the day, or did Jesus open it up and find this text?
I don't know. It just says, well, they handed him Isaiah, right? So it's the Isaiah scroll, right? Now, what is interesting is that if it is the appointed text, Jesus is conflating here, because he brings, I mean, which he's free to do. He's the Son of God. He brings in Isaiah 58, you know.
Right.
You know, as sort of more messianic material. So it may be that even as he's reading, people are going, huh, he changed the reading. I wonder how come he did that.
Oh, that's cool.
See?
Yeah.
Right? And the answer is because today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing right now. See?
Yeah.
I'm the guy. See? So, and really, in a sense, this another homiletical application just came to mind is, the Nazareth synagogue people end up acting in a perfectly reasonable way. See, If you don't believe that he's the guy, then a reasonable response is to want to kill him, right? But he won't, notice, and you know how it goes, Jesus won't allow them to continue to say, oh, isn't he a wonderful speaker? See, Jesus pushes them to the point where they want to push him, right? So it's one or t'other. You can't, there's no sort of, isn't this a wonderful moral teacher kind of thing. So, yeah. So, good. Other stuff? Time for class. Thank you.